Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Many assume God won't forgive moral sins, so they sin all the more, not knowing the mercy of the Christ who died for sins like these. Today, a real-life story of how Jesus restored the dignity of someone with a lifetime of sexual sin. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series is Restoring the Soul, Healing in an Age of Brokenness. Turn with us to Luke chapter 7 as Pastor Lutzer comes to speak on Jesus, forgiveness, and you.
Marilyn Monroe once said that in Hollywood they give you $1,000 for a kiss and 50 cents for your soul. So I want to begin today by asking you the question, how is your soul? How would you characterize it? Is it full of guilt, remorse, powerlessness, self-condemnation, peace, joy? How is the state of your soul? As you know, we're in a series of messages titled Restoring the Soul. In the first message, we spoke about shame and how that has to be overcome if the soul is to be restored, and we'll be commenting on that again today. In the second message, we spoke about the lies that we like to believe about sexuality, lies that hurt and ruin us. And then last time, breaking soul ties. You know, there was a man who was in an adulterous relationship, and when he was confronted, he denied it and even put his fist up to heaven and said, "If I'm lying, let God smite me dead." But God didn't smite him dead. And so he felt emboldened to continue on in his lie. But when it finally came unraveled, when the lie didn't work anymore, he said these words, "I know I'm wrong, I'm helpless, I'm driven to be with her, no matter the cost." Now, we commented on that last week, giving an explanation for that, but I need to tell you that the next message in this series is going to do with breaking the cycle. But today we're going to speak about grace and forgiveness in the presence of Jesus. Because there's a story in the New Testament that is a wonderful story. It's one in which Jesus takes a woman who had greatly sinned and he restores her. And not only does he forgive her, but he gives her back something that is desperately needed if you're to be restored, and that is your dignity. Because if not, you'll repeat the same sin. Like one woman said, "I thought I was scum, so I lived like scum." I want to tell you today, you can live differently in the presence of Jesus. The story is found in the 7th chapter of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 7, there is a Pharisee by the name of Simon who decides to throw a party for Jesus just to check him out. That's what the Bible says. And what he does is he throws this feast, and Jesus is to be there because he wants to meet Jesus for himself, this Pharisee does. And so he invites Christ to the feast. Now, you need to understand that in those days, uninvited guests could come into the courtyard. They could not come to the table, but if they wanted to crouch along the walls of the courtyard, they could do that. They were free to do that. And there is a woman in the town who is a sinner. We know from the text that she's a prostitute, and she comes and she cowers in the shadows. Those of us who are interested in the cause of human behavior would be very interested to know how she got into prostitution. Was it that she was raised in a fine home but then decided to throw it all away and to simply go into this lifestyle? And once she began that way, she was despised and scorned, and so she stayed earning a living doing that? That's a possibility, but it's doubtful. More likely, she was abused by a man. She may have been sexually molested as a child. Those who have been sexually violated find it very difficult to put up boundaries. Sometimes they don't even know where the boundaries are. They find it hard to say no because they have been so severely violated, they don't even know exactly where those boundaries should be. And so anyone can come along, and they are willing to open up their lives and their bodies for them. Maybe she's like the prostitute whom someone once brought to me, who was tossed out in the street at the age of 14, having to fend alone, raped, then lived as a prostitute. Whatever, all that we know is that this woman was known in town as a sinner. Now, everybody sins, but she especially was known as the sinner of the streets. There's something else that you have to know in terms of customs. In those days when you had a feast, the table was only about 18 inches from the floor, and the people would come and recline. Their feet were extended. The men then would lean on their left elbow and eat with their right hand. And that's the way also that we have to understand the Lord's Supper. It makes no sense to try to understand what was going on there unless you understand that that was the custom of the day. So Jesus is there and his feet are extended, and this woman comes, and notice what we read. Verse 37, when a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Wow. She said to herself, I'm coming from the shadows, and I'm going to get to Jesus no matter what. And openly, repeatedly, and unashamedly, she showed this affection to Jesus. This was too much for Simon the Pharisee. You'll notice it says in verse 39, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of a woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus would know that he's being touched by this immoral woman of the streets. Now, what I'd like to do in the next few moments is to show you how this woman came to wholeness. Because at the end of this passage, we read from the words of Jesus himself, from his lips, go in peace. How does Jesus take an immoral woman filled with all kinds of shame and remorse, and in the end, in just a few moments, be able to say to her, go in peace? How does that happen? In the presence of Jesus. And I want you to know today that it happens also today. I'm going to give you 5 steps. I'm a little hesitant to call them steps because when God works in our life, it isn't in some kind of a neat pattern, step by step. Sometimes the steps are in a different order. Sometimes all of them happen at once. But I do believe that in all the processes of healing, that basically there are these elements that are present, and I'd like to give them to you. Because there are some of you who are listening today who need to be brought from your own lifestyle and your own pain and your own memories to wholeness in the presence of Jesus. And I believe that that is going to happen. I really do. First step, she was honest and open. She was honest and open. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, the very fact that she was willing to come to this feast. She knew that everyone who was at the feast, all of these Pharisees, would hold her in scorn and derision. She knew that she would elicit this kind of a response, but her desire to meet Jesus was more powerful than public scorn and rebuke and judgmentalism. All that she cared about was getting to Jesus. So she came out from the shadows of the courtyard. And she came to him. There are some of you who are in a lifestyle of repeated sinful behavior. And what I need to tell you today is that the grace of God does not go behind closed doors. And what she had to do is what many have had to do, to die the natural inclination to live a lie and to come into the presence of Jesus. And I invite you to do that today. And those of you who have been abused, Perhaps it's not your sin, but the sin of others. You too have to come to Jesus, because the same grace that this woman experienced, the grace of forgiveness and healing and dignity, is what all of us need in the pilgrimage of life. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, can't I do this on my own? Yes, you can be forgiven in the presence of God on your own, but you cannot be restored. Your dignity cannot be reinstated, as we shall see, except to come out from the shadows and come to the presence of Jesus and not care who's looking or who knows. God bless this woman. First of all, she was open and honest. Secondly, she faced her pain. She faced her pain. You say, well, where is that in the text? Back in verse 38, when it says that she was weeping, and then she wipes the feet of Jesus with her hair and kisses them as her tears mingled with the perfume. Why was she crying? Well, of course we know. She was crying because she thinks of all of the men who betrayed her. All of the men who said those wonderful, beautiful, seductive things, and then when they got what they wanted, they tossed her away like the peeling of an orange. The simple fact is, here was a woman who was so filled with self-revulsion, so filled with shame and the degrading feeling of being used, that there she was in the presence of Jesus, and she wept. She wept. I want you to know today that tears are very important. You don't have to cry to be forgiven, but many of you need to cry to be restored. And I'll tell you why. She could have acted differently. She could have chosen not to cry. She could have said to herself, you know, if these self-righteous Pharisees are going to treat me that way and scorn me, I'll show them. I'll take all of my feelings and my hurt, and I will stuff those feelings into my soul. I will weld my soul shut so that no one will ever get to me. And then she would have been hard. She'd have been angry. She would have been uncaring. She would have been defiant. And she would have been unhealed.
I have to say that I love that story. I love it because right there in the presence of these self-righteous Pharisees, Jesus pronounces this woman forgiven. What blessed news to those who are broken, to those who feel helpless. My wife and I have written a book entitled Life-Changing Bible Verses You Should Know. It deals with a variety of different topics from the standpoint of doctrine and Christian living. We wrote this book to help you on your spiritual journey, and a book that you can use to help others on their spiritual journey. Ask for the book Life-Changing Bible Verses You Should Know. It comes with questions at the end of each section so that it can be used in Bible studies.
Pastor Erwin Lutzer, with part one of Jesus, Forgiveness, and You, the fourth in a seven-part series of messages on restoring the soul. Next time, we continue our journey toward dignity, both for this woman and for us today. Life-Changing Bible Verses You Should Know is a book by Pastor Lutzer and his wife, Rebecca. It will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.